We continue our conversation about Flight 370 of Malaysian Airlines, and I think the world pretty much stopped what they were doing to hear the news conference from the Prime Minister yesterday, and I'm still getting some text here saying that there's no way this is everything that the authorities are saying it is. There's too much going on, too much doesn't make sense. Van Gurley joins us right now, former Navy captain, commanding officer at the Naval Oceanography Command. I believe he was involved in the search for that missing French airliner, Air France Flight 447. And I also understand he's not a resident, but spent some time at the Stennis Space Center in Biloxi. Did you not?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Yes, I did. I'm proud to say I've spent a lot of good years down on the Gulf Coast there.
Well, good. I know you're familiar with WWL, and now I'm glad we're familiar with you. Tell me, I guess, where you even start on this, Van, now that I guess every bit of technology shows that the plane, the jet could have done nothing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but gone into the ocean. Is that what they're saying?
Well, that's what the Malaysian Prime Minister came out and announced yesterday at his press conference. And you have to, you know, hearts and prayers go out to those families now that have to deal with the finality that apparently is being put on this. But the real issue still is, you know, we don't know. And until the Australian search and rescue, rescue and recovery assets are able to get into the area with their ships, it's going to be a waiting game to make sure that what has been spotted via the satellites and the aircraft over the last couple of days is in fact the wreckage and the debris field from that aircraft. And so everybody's cautioning wait. You know, the analysis that was announced yesterday is based on looking at everything that was available via the satellite handshake signals within Marsat. But there's a lot of still unknowns here because even as they announced yesterday, that analysis is sort of unprecedented. And we here in the Metron office in D.C. are not exactly sure how Inmarsat did it and, you know, are looking for more information so we can, you know, review it ourselves.
In terms of, first off, the term satellite handshake, I got to find out what that is.
So
signal handshake, what'd you call it?
Well, they call it what has been reported as a satellite handshake, and I guess the best analogy is with your cell phone. Even when you're not talking on your cell phone, it occasionally talks to the towers near you to say, here I am, and if you need to call me, here's how you reach me. So what happened, what's being reported by Inmarsat, is even after all the normal communications with the aircraft ceased at about 1 o'clock in the morning, every hour at about 11 minutes after the hour, the satellite over the Indian Ocean had a two-way signal with the aircraft that said, here I am. Now, unfortunately, it just said, I'm alive. It didn't say exactly the position. But that gave the investigators, I think, 6 hours' worth of information that said the aircraft was still intact, the aircraft still had power, and the signal was moving, so the aircraft must still be in the air. And that's what's led them to these north and south corridors.
When it comes to Air France Flights 447, was there at least debris that was evident that led the investigation search for the black boxes that were found, 2 years later, huh?
Correct, Tommy. And I do need to correct one piece. The company I'm with now, Metron, was part of the search team with the French BEA, their version of the NTSB, that helped find the Air France 447 crash. I personally was not involved. I was still on active duty down there at Stennis, working in the Naval Oceanography Community.
And speaking of location, I misidentified Stennis as in Biloxi. It's not. It's between Picayune and Bay St. Louis.
Yeah. I was going to get to that, too. But
that's all right. I fixed it. Tell me then, so do you know if there was debris immediately after the crash of that Air France flight?
And there was. So that, I think, is the best case we have in modern history for people to think about when they think about the complexity of what we're facing now. So in the case of Air France 447, the plane and the pilots continued to talk to the towers up till about 4 minutes before everything went quiet. So we had very good locating report up to 4 minutes before the plane disappeared from all communications on where it was over the Atlantic. The French and their partners immediately got ships and aircraft in the area, and it still took over 5 days to find the first bit of wreckage. But once they did find the wreckage field and got ships in there to confirm that it actually was from the Air France 447, they eventually recovered over 1,000 pieces of debris in a fairly wide debris field that turned out to be about 40 miles north of where the plane had actually impacted the water. But we didn't know that for another 2 years until we had done all the backtracking. So the first piece you have to do is you have to find the debris field. The next piece you do is you carefully plot each of the points, each of the places where you find something from the aircraft. And then, just like the folks over at Stennis and Naval Oceanography do, you run these very high-resolution wind and ocean current models, and you can use that to back things up. You can basically run the player backwards. So you say, if I picked it up here, and I know what the currents and winds have been doing over the last couple of days, let me back up the drift and figure out where it likely came from on the day the plane disappeared. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the clues that led us to help find Air France 447. But even with all the information we had and a fairly tight search area, it was only about a 5,000-square-mile search area that they needed to look to find the plane. It still took 2 years to find the black boxes on the ocean bottom.
Do you anticipate eventually finding a debris field? We had Mark Rosinger on earlier, former NTSB champion, chairman, and he's a champion too. He's a good guy. And he said that some of this stuff, or the more it's in the water, could sink. And if that happens, how do you even have a starting point?
Well, time is the enemy here, and the fact the weather down there is just horrendous. The search operations over the last 24 hours were canceled because of gale force winds and very high seas down there in the search area, about 1,500 miles off of Perth. But what we saw in Air France 447 were there were a lot of objects like seat cushions, luggage, things out of the overhead bin that will drift for quite a long time. There are a lot of opinions on this right now, and I'm trying not to to speculate, trying to stay with facts based on what we've seen in past accidents. But the longer things go on, some things get waterlogged and eventually sink. Mm-hmm. The longer things go on, that debris field begins to disperse, and it gets larger and larger. And the longer this goes on, the techniques that I described about using ocean and winds to back things up become less and less accurate. And that all is going to complicate the task of trying to find the right place on the ocean bottom to start looking.
Real quick, before I let you go, in terms of water conditions, because you are an oceanographer, I presume, the difference between water conditions where Air France Flight 447 went down and here, night and day difference?
No, actually not. It's ocean depth about 2 miles down, same both spots. The area where Air France 447 went down, there were some smooth bottoms, which is very good for searching the bottom, some rugged bottoms. The problem we have where the Malaysian air search area is that area has not been well charted, so no one's really sure what the bottom looks like down there, if it's going to be easy to search or hard to search. Currents are the other big issue. The ocean currents in both areas are highly variable, and that's going to make life a little difficult for the oceanographers to back things up. Last piece is the weather. The weather down where they're searching now is much rougher than what they had to deal with Air France 447, and it's so remote, it's taking, 4 hours for aircraft just to get there. So think about leaving Washington, D.C., flying out to Denver, circling for an hour looking for something, and then flying all the way back. And that's what these air crews are going through right now.
Captain, I appreciate your time. I hope we get to talk to you again.
Tommy, it's been my pleasure. Good day to you.